It's a beautiful morning.
The Commish, Justin Pawlowski on 1010 CBS Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back. 12:48 here on 1010 CBS Sports Radio. The owners' meeting's going on with the NFL owners, and they're covering it all for the Tampa Bay Times. Joining us now, had some great tidbits yesterday on Twitter, is a good friend of ours, Stephen Holder. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, man. What's going on, Justin? Hey,
great.
How are you doing?
Following you on Twitter, @HolderStephen. Some great stuff coming out yesterday. And it really seems like these owners' meetings, really a good access for guys like you to get a lot of good nuggets like that.
No, absolutely. I mean, I spent, 15 minutes in a hallway talking to Jim Irsay, for example, and you can get that kind of access, and that's why you come here, because it's so beneficial both this week and as we move toward the draft to get that insight on what teams are looking for, what they're going to do, and just some of the possibilities that are going to arise here in the coming weeks. So it's unbelievably beneficial for you. No question.
How do you filter through? Let's start with draft stuff. I mean, how do you filter through some of that? Because I know Heckert for the Browns saying that, you know, they're going to take an offensive player, but it's going to be tough to pass on Maurice Claiborne. I mean, how do we know what's truth and what's not?
Well, you start with this premise that most of it's not true. Okay, that's the premise. And if you do that, then I think you get some clarity, because then you know to take everything with a grain of salt. And the fact of the matter is that I think there are certain things that make some sense. Okay, Mark Dominic, for example, as I posted just a while ago on TampaBay.com, he has talked at length on a couple different occasions about potentially trading down. I think he's serious about that. And the reason you know that is because it's probably a remote possibility, because he doesn't have a trade partner, and he would probably be surprised to find one. I think that's his way of putting the word out that he'd like to do that. So maybe there's some truth to that. But I think for the most part, a lot of what you hear, there are motives behind what they're saying when it's related to the draft. And I think in the case of the Browns, as you mentioned, I was very skeptical about that, because I think the Browns really are the one pick where everybody's kind of scratching their head, because there really hasn't been any definitive consensus on what they're going to do or not do. And I think that's still true, despite Heckert's assertion.
And I think that the Browns are a wild card early on, but are the Vikings as much of a wild card as they're trying to make themselves to be? A lot of fingers are being pointed to Matt Khalil, that offensive tackle from USC, being their pick, but they came out and said they like Maurice Claiborne, and then maybe Justin Blackmon's a possibility as well?
Yeah, I heard the Blackmon possibility here at the meetings, and you know, from a reputable source. Look, it's all projections right now. I'm not suggesting anyone told me they're going to pick him, just sure, that he could be in play for them. But I still think at the end of the day, the consensus of people who are a lot smarter and have a lot more information than I do, their consensus is that they're going to go with Khalil. And it just does make a lot of sense with that young quarterback and Christian Ponder. You get him set up for years to come, potentially, at that all-too-important left tackle position. So I think that's where they go, and I think most people are working under that assumption. And I think the Bucs are even assuming that at this point, sure, you know, with the obvious possibility that they could do something else.
Bucs beat writer for the Tampa Bay Times and at the owners' meetings is Stephen Holder. He is joining us here on 1010 CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned Dominic, and he's done this several times already, hinting about trading down. Is there a player that a team would want to trade up for? Would it be a Maurice Claiborne? Would the Bucs pass on a Maurice Claiborne or Trent Richardson or Justin Blackmon to trade down and accumulate more picks?
I don't see that being a likely possibility. I don't think either of those two players, Claiborne or Richardson, are guys who teams are going to give up pretty valuable picks to go up and get. You would have to get, you'd have to swap first round picks, obviously, and it would probably or potentially at least involve a second round pick, which is very valuable. So I don't know. I mean, I think you would have to have an unbelievable conviction about one of those guys to do it. I think generally when you see teams trade up that high in the draft, is generally for a quarterback. Sure. Or I'll throw this at you. Let's say Khalil does fall, and that, you know, we talked about that possibility about the Vikings doing something else. The Browns, they have Joe Thomas, maybe they don't go there. So there is a scenario I could paint you where he fell to number 5. Mm-hmm. Again, a remote possibility, but anything can happen. So let's say that happens. Well, then the Bucks are faced with a possibility of teams calling now and saying, well, hey, we want a franchise left tackle. And if they see him as such, well, then I think the Bucks could get some calls. But I think before they make any kind of decision like that, and this is very, very hypothetical, obviously, before they make that decision, they would also have to decide for themselves, would we want that guy? Because I think that is not a slam dunk that they pass on him and make that trade. So
no, especially with Jeremy Trueblood's contract being up next year and Donald Penn dealing with weight issues the last few years.
Sure. Look, I mean, he's going to be younger. He's going to have more upside than anybody they have at tackle. So that's not a rip on anybody they currently have on the roster. It's just a fact. I mean, that is a position where teams will give up the house for, you know, in this draft, in the draft. That position and the quarterback position generally are the two positions that people will sacrifice the most to acquire. So it could be a real wild card possibility, and that's why the draft's fun, you know, because we can talk about these possibilities for hours on end, and we're not wrong, because we're just kind of throwing stuff against the wall.
it's all speculation now, but
right.
Stephen Holder's joining us from the Tampa Bay Times. One position the Buccaneers still have a need at is linebacker. We haven't seen them make any moves in free agency at the linebacker position. Obviously, linebacker will be a position that they look at in the draft. Are there any names that you're hearing of linebackers that they might be interested in? Obviously, the top name on the board at the linebacker position is Luke Kuechly.
Yeah, I don't know that he's a guy that would be in play, obviously, at number five. I just don't sense that at all.
Seems like it'd be very high for a guy like that. You know?
Yeah, it would be. It would be. And he is a guy that I've heard a lot about from fans. I mean, readers, I hear his name almost every single day, as I'm sure you do.
Sure.
And, you know, I think there's a lot there to like. I think now if in a trade-down scenario, that's a guy who could suddenly come into play. Mm-hmm. And that would be an intriguing possibility. But, yeah, I don't think he's in play at number two necessarily, but everything I've been told is that this is a fairly deep draft, at least in the early to mid round picks, maybe at linebacker, maybe not so much in the first round, but I think in the second, third, fourth round, there are going to be some guys. And, you know, linebacker is generally a position, it's almost like running back to some extent, where there's a lot of guys at that position. There's usually a lot of depth in the draft. It's a position where you usually have a lot of guys to choose from. So they'll get somebody, I think. But I will tell you, I just don't sense a lot of urgency to do anything about that position in free agency, at least in this stage of free agency. And I think based on the fact that they've let guys go back and sign with other teams, you know, who are on the market, I think that has driven that point home. It's reinforced the fact that they don't feel any real urgency to go out and sign a linebacker for big money. And I also think it speaks to maybe, again, this is my words, not the team's, but I think it speaks to maybe them not feeling that strongly about the talent of some of those guys who are on the market. Sure. At that position, because, you know, I don't know that you had those slam dunk guys, and I think that was some of the sentiment that the team was expressing with their actions there, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, do you want to bring in a linebacker that's only going to play first and second down and be a liability in coverage? You don't want to overpay for a guy like that,
right.
Which I think is ultimately what played into the Buccaneers passing on some of those guys. So with that being said, do you feel, I think he's going to get an opportunity to stay there, but when training camp begins, when we get to game one, do you think Mason Foster stays at middle linebacker or moves back to the position he had at college at outside linebacker?
I still think it's too early to know. I think, and I don't think they know. I think what they're going to do is, I think what they've said all along, at least the last couple of weeks, which is, look, we've got this mini camp before the draft, which they're able to do because of the coaching change. They get a little bit of extra time to work with their players. So they're going to go through and have that mini camp, let him play the mic in that mini camp or line up there, and just take a look at him. Let's see how he responds in year two. A couple of things. This is a new system, okay? We don't know what they're going to ask Mason Foster to do. They could perhaps tailor that position to his strengths, you know, a guy who's going forward and not backwards, you know, in coverage and things like that. So you can sort of tailor that to his strengths potentially and maybe get the best out of him. You know, so this really is a blank canvas kind of situation for Mason Foster. I'm not sitting here promising you that he's going to be some sort of Pro Bowl middle linebacker, but I think they also feel like they don't know that he's not going to be, you know. So I think they're just going to kind of go with an open mind. But that said, I still feel like obviously that weak side position or whatever it ends up being in this new defense, that really hasn't been addressed. You know, Hayes is a free agent. They haven't signed anyone. Don't have a lot of starting experience among the players who are left. So I think that's still an issue there. And then there's obviously Quincy Black, who I fully expect to be back as a prominent player, probably a starter this year, despite what people may say about him.
Do you think Butch Davis is going to have a significant role when it comes to draft time, or is he just going to be a voice in the room?
I think it's significant, and the reason I do feel that way is because Greg Schiano trusts him, and that's why he's here to begin with. He's here because Greg Schiano wanted a trusted voice, someone he could rely on and know it's someone who has his best interest at heart, and someone, not to say that Mark Dominic doesn't, but he doesn't have any experience with Mark Dominic, and you could certainly understand that. You're coming into a tough situation. You know, college coaches, obviously the track record is not good for success at this level. So he knows that, and he's smart enough to know he's got to surround himself with people who can help him make this transition, and I think that was part of that process. You know, Butch Davis was once a college coach who made that jump to the NFL, and he made a lot of mistakes, and he'll tell you that. So I think he's got a wealth of knowledge that he can share with a guy who he helped mentor in Greg Schiano, and I think it's a valuable resource for Greg, you know, for better or for worse. You know, again, you know, I think Butch made some mistakes his first time around, but again, I think he's also learned from that, and I think that's where he's going to be very valuable for Greg Schiano. I think he's going to be a huge resource, and I think he's going to have a lot of influence over both coaching and personnel decisions, if you ask me.
Before I let you run, we're not expecting a lot more moves in free agency. I saw you tweeted that they're going to probably roll over the leftover cap space to 2013, which would be a good move there. But with that, you know, I think running back is still a position that they want to address. Are the Buccaneers, and we saw last year they had four running backs on their roster while Moses Madu was brought up. All four of those running backs were undrafted free agents. Doesn't seem like Mark Dominic puts a lot of emphasis into the running back position, at least in the draft. Do you see the Buccaneers investing a top five pick